Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 10, we'll read verses 38 through 42. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1481. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 10, 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. We need to turn around, shouted Emily Ryan. Something had caught her attention. In the Monday, July the 14th reading, Mornings with Jesus, Emily Ryan shares the following story. On a summer road trip, her and her family had gone to the Grand Canyon, and the next day they were driving to Yuma, Arizona to visit her husband's relatives. Well, she was enamored with the distant mountains and the thorny vegetation. She almost missed a large sign that hugged the side of the road on a sparse stretch of Highway 95. Like an oasis in the middle of the desert, the sign offered, Pause, Rest, Worship. She craned her neck to see more as they flew by, and that's when she shouted, We need to turn around. Well, she persuaded her husband to go exploring, and to their delight, the sign led them to a beautiful one-room tiny church that stood strong and sure in the middle of just a desolate field of brown and grays. The only color there was a hot pink blooms from the shrubs in front. Well, inside, light poured in from the small windows. It illuminated a small pulpit and six miniature pews. The entire church was barely 100 square feet, but it was the perfect size for their family of six to pause, rest, and worship. Just as that sign had invited them to do, Jesus can be worshiped anywhere, airports, grocery stores, laundry rooms. Even in the middle of a busy day, we can pause, rest, and worship. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Now, from the book of John, the 11th chapter, we learn that the home was in Bethany. It was just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem, so it was a respite from travel and the crowd of Jerusalem. Martha had a sister called Mary. The snapshot of Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus is interesting to us with the family dynamics and also their faith. There may have been other family members, but we don't know. Martha's sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his words. She listened. She heard. She paid attention. Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, it's one thing to welcome Jesus, but you're also welcoming that motley crew known as his 12 disciples and whoever else was kind of following along with them. And can you picture the scene? Jesus is talking, and seated around him, more than likely seated on the floor, are listeners. One of those is Mary, and she's seated at Jesus' feet. Martha approaches Jesus. She enters the room. You wonder, does Jesus look up? And would you think that all eyes would turn toward Martha? And what does Mary do as Martha is complaining about her? Does she look down? Does she keep her eyes on Martha? Does she keep her focus on Jesus? If you think about it, Martha's not only complaining to Jesus about Mary, she's complaining about Jesus. Don't you care that Mary is not helping me? Sometimes even in a room or a home filled with people, we can feel very alone. That was Martha's feelings. I'm alone with house guests and no one is helping me. Well, Jewish hospitality would not only recommend but require, especially with Jesus who had nowhere to lay his head, that beds or some sort of sleeping arrangement would be provided. So it's more than supper, it's bed linens. When we looked at this scripture in 2022, I shared an experience of my daughter Lene on a Thursday before the percussion party. On Saturday, my daughter surprised one of her son's band member's mother. Wanting to be helpful, she asked, Would you like for me to bring anything to the percussion party? The mother was like, Say what?
The mother knew about the party. She just didn't know that it was at her house. Telling me about it later, my daughter kind of shook her head and said, "Teenage boys, if that had been a dance team party, we would have been talking menu and coordinating paper products for 2 weeks." Well, Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part. It will not be taken from her." Hospitality is more than good food, a pleasant environment, and the right paper products. It's at its core, hospitality is paying attention to whomever you have welcomed into your home or other space. Christians offer Christ their attention. We give our attention to what we value. If we value Jesus, we will praise God and will listen to God's words. Mary paid attention to the words of Jesus. Martha was worried and troubled about many things. She was distracted, so her attention was divided. The telling of this story by the author Luke follows the story of the Good Samaritan. Of course, in that story, the good part was that the Samaritan stopped and helped the wounded and the injured man. His attention was on being a loving neighbor. So we can't say that being a Christian is only about sitting and listening to God's word, nor can we say that being a Christian is only about doing good deeds. These two sisters, they're always identified together in the gospel accounts. I like to think of them as a composite with a good southern name, Mary Martha. Now, while it's true that Mary Martha sounds phonetically better to me than Martha Mary, that's not the primary reason I like to think of Mary first. It speaks to me and encourages me in how we live our faith. First, we want to be like Mary. We want to pause. We want to rest. We want to worship. We allow our souls and our bodies to get together in the same space. We'll pause and pay attention to God. We'll worship God with our prayers, our praise, our gratitude, and reading our Bibles. We'll be grateful for this season in our lives. Sometimes we worship God alone, sometimes with family or friends, and sometimes with a church or other gathering. It's when we have paid attention to Christ with the Mary that is in us that we can pay attention to Christ with the Martha that is in us. It is only with God's help that we'll know how we can be a good neighbor, to show hospitality, to serve God and God's kingdom. It's only when we have paid attention to Christ that we can serve Him in the way that we want. Often as important as what we do is how we do it. Martha went from welcoming Jesus into her home to becoming resentful of her sister, to complaining to Jesus, not only about her sister, but about him. Jesus, do you not care? How did it become a pity party? If we're not paying attention to Jesus, our work for the kingdom will become worrisome and troubling. We'll become resentful, not only of others, but even of Jesus. Perhaps part of Martha's error in judgment was that she thought it was her place to determine what the proper role for Mary was in God's kingdom. Tell her to help me. Jesus said, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. In her book, Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World, Joanna Weaver shares an old fable. There was once a priest who served a small parish in an obscure village in countryside. He loved his people and they loved him. He was doing God's work. He was so effective in his ministry that two demons were assigned to pester him and to somehow derail his ministry. They tried every method in their bag of tricks, but to no avail. The placid priest just seemed beyond their reach. They finally called a conference with the devil himself. The demons listed their efforts and groaned, "We've tried everything." Well, Satan hissed, "It's quite easy. Bring him news that his brother has made bishop." The demons looked at one another. It seemed too simple. They needed something more diabolical, but it was worth a try. Nothing else had worked. So several weeks later, they returned gleefully. The old priest hadn't taken the happy news of his brother's promotion well at all. The man's former joy had turned to moping. His encouraging words had been replaced with grumbling. In a short time, the man's vibrant ministry had been destroyed by the green worm of envy and the black cloud of disappointment. The bitter conclusion was, it just wasn't fair. Well, Satan has never been terribly creative. The tools he used today are the tools he's always used, and no wonder they've been quite effective. From the Garden of Eden to Martha's Bethany kitchen, to our everyday world, Satan still plans his attacks around what Joanna Weaver calls the three deadly D's of destruction. They're distraction, discouragement, and doubt. The underlying strategy is quite simple. Get people's eyes off of God and onto their circumstances. Make them believe that their happiness lies in the happenings that are around them. Or send them good news about someone else. When they're thoroughly discouraged, tell them that God doesn't care, and then just kind of sit back and let doubt do its work. Let us offer Jesus our attention. We give our attention to what we value. If we value Jesus, we'll praise God and we'll listen to God's words that we may serve in God's world. Let us pray. Almighty God, let my attention be focused on you through Jesus Christ. Help me to pause, to rest, to worship, to serve in Jesus' name. Amen.